oppressive illness. His lawyers argued it would be unjust and oppressive to send him to the U.S. to face trial. Charles Ledesma, London.
An Iraqi government spokesman says that the U.S. has started to reduce the number of its troops in Iraq following Baghdad's declaration of victory over the Islamic State group. Western contractors at a U.S.-led coalition base in northern Iraq say American soldiers are being flown out of Iraq and sent to Afghanistan. More at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my co-host, Sean. How's it going, Sean?
Hello. Pretty good.
All right. I figure at the beginning of these shows I should remind people Radio Wasteland is a show about the paranormal and the mysterious
yeah.
and all that
we
stuff.
Usually just talk about whatever pops into our head.
Yeah,
for, you know,
at which point people are just...
like, are the new viewers gone yet?
Yeah.
So, that kind of thing.
I'm sick.
Oh.
I have a cold.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant, like, you have a twisted mind, which I was like, okay.
Well, then I'm doubly sick. I'm doubly
sick.
You know,
sick. Why are you telling the listeners this? They're,
let's check this out.
That.
Hang on. Shh.
Oh, that's not great.
That's my breathing.
Mm.
Yeah. Sounds like a bunch of, like, it sounds like a whole classroom of children trying to whistle at once, and none of them know how, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm jacked up on Rockstar and cold medicine.
Okay.
So I've decided...
Shouldn't those cancel out? I thought most cold medicines were more like a depressant.
I don't know.
I think you're mixing your uppers and your downers there.
I'm here, aren't I?
Yes, you
might
are.
Might be dead come morning, but I made it. Entertainment goes on.
That is true.
So I've decided that with my intoxicated state of mind, with the large amounts of caffeine and DayQuil, that I would... air some of my dirty laundry.
Okay.
I am a terrible, terrible human being.
All right, I'm liking where this is going.
And I have two stories as to why.
All right.
So, I've been trying to walk my dog with my daughter every day. And so, we do it for like 3 days in a row. We walk a mile and a half at lunch.
All right.
And she's got fast little legs, man. She's tiny, but she's like my what's it called in racing, the car, the pace car or whatever? She's like my pace car. I got to keep up with her. And I have a chihuahua.
All right.
And so I'm taking this chihuahua around with me. And the first day, he's, oh, yeah, loving it. But, you know, you got to drag him a little bit because he's a lot out of shape. And the second day is a little more clunky. You got to drag him a little more. Then the third day, he's like straight up like just not into it. And, like, I get, like, two-thirds of the way around the track, and, like, I look back after dragging him, and he's just, like, straight up limping.
Huh.
And, like, I pick him up, and I have to carry him the last third of the way back. And his paws are all bloodied and blistered from walking around this, which makes me doubly bad for when I was dragging him as he was, like, injured.
I was not imagining dragging, like, literally.
Well, I wasn't literally dragging him, but... And then for two, he's just so out of shape from walking that he was capable of getting there, you know, because, you know, if you read stuff, a chihuahua can walk about 2 miles a day max.
Interesting.
And,
They're hyper little creatures, so I always assumed they were more athletic than that.
So for, like, days afterwards, and even today is a little bit, but he had, like, a little scab on the bottom of each of his little pads on his each little foot, each little dog foot. So, that's one reason why I'm terrible.
Okay.
Then the other one actually happened to me like 2 weeks ago. And this one I am just really embarrassed about. Every time I bring it up to myself, even in my own head, I just get super embarrassed about it. So, my wife and I's Friday night outing is we go to the casino, and then we go to a local bar, the 501.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at the 5, and a friend of mine, she comes up and she introduces me to her new boyfriend.
All right.
And it's real loud in there, and, you know, it's bright, and I'm half deaf from playing music, and I can't hear anything, you know. And so this guy, you know, we make the introduction, and we shake hands. And he gives me some sort of, like, gangster double handshake thing where he, like, shakes my hand and then comes around and does something, right? And me, you know, being now 42, as of my birthday was a Saturday. So now that I'm 42, you know, the double handshake I find to be a little bit ridiculous when you're first meeting somebody.
Sure.
So I think, oh, yeah, man, whatever. Why stop there? And I pull him in closer and I start doing all these, like, hand sign shake things and bumping and, like, making sort of gangster hand signs. Like, making fun of the handshake. And then I pull him in close to tell him I'm just messing with him. And he shakes his head. And he shakes his head. And then my friend leans over to me and she's all, oh, yeah, he's deaf.
Oh.
And I'm all, oh, my God. I'm just all, please tell him that I was making fun of his handshake. I was not being the world's worst human being. And so now I don't know if, like, I am just, I'm, like, scared to show my face out in public.
Well, I think most people don't know that happened. Or, I mean, they didn't until you aired that all on the air just now.
Yeah, well, maybe he's blocking it.
I feel like I gotta act kind of like the Catholic priest here,
yeah,
when you're telling me all this stuff.
I do, but, yeah,
but
okay.
I mean, I don't know what to...
How many Hail Marys?
I don't know, like 50 Hail Marys?
50? You obviously
know, like,
were not 50? Raised Catholic. That's like for killing somebody.
Yeah, and I don't
know. It's like the mafia's getting 50. Shouldn't it have, like, three...
Some jumping jacks on top of that. I don't know.
I don't know.
Cut down on carbs. Just,
I already
something.
Did that.
Okay. Then you're good. God forgives you.
All right. Shut up now. We're going to talk about the show. Tonight we have guests on the She Squatchers. And I don't know what's up with the She Squatchers. I don't know if it's a group of women looking for Sasquatch or a group of lady Sasquatches looking for love. Maybe it's like a like a great
yeah,
rom-com.
We don't know what they're looking for.
Yeah, no, it is a group of women who chase down the Sasquatch.
Yeah.
I am curious as to why it's a group of women specifically. Maybe they were a group of friends that just got together or,
yeah,
you know. So
I would assume it's a bonding experience of some kind, you know, maybe.
Yeah, so.
I don't know if that's like one of the empowerment milestones or whatever we're trying to get for women, like, first Sasquatch hunting group that's all women. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure it counts.
I think that's,
to some degree, right?
I think that's borderline condescending, Sean.
Okay, all right.
I'm not sure if that's right. But I am curious as to why. I'm always curious as to, yeah, like when we were talking to the Dark Lady, I was curious as to, you know, males' involvement with witchcraft.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, really, I guess... I'm not sure there really needs to be a reason, you know?
I'm sure there isn't.
Like,
you know, a very likely
something.
Reason in this day and age is that boys were being jerks and we're letting them come along. Because, I mean, that's the day and age we live in, you know? It's like...
Well, that would be a depressing thing to learn, but not even surprising, so...
Yeah, I don't know. But I do like the name.
It is a good name.
She Squatchers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like She-Hulk, kind of.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. Well, it's like woman. I'm a little disturbed by all these terms. It's like man. Let's put a woe in front of it. That's a woman. The Hulk. There's Lady Hulk. What are we going to call that? She-Hulk.
Yeah.
Is a Squatch by nature masculine?
Language sucks.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. I think the man-woman thing came from, I don't know, something ancient or Germanic originally. That's what I want to say.
I don't know. We're all going to H-E double hotkey sticks in a handbasket. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back for the She Squatchers.
Prairie for that. When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest, Jen and Jenna from the She Squatchers. We got you there on the line with us?
We are here. Hello.
Hello. Do I have right with Jen and Jenna?
You bet.
You are right. Yeah.
That is an awesome phrase, Jen and Jenna from the She Squatchers.
Absolutely.
I just want to hang on that for a moment. That's so cool.
Excellent. We actually like to hang on that for a moment, many, many moments, too. So, kidding.
So I assume that She Squatchers, there was some tongue-in-cheek fun there with the name that you guys came up with.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, Lauren Coleman, you know, the cryptozoologist who has the Bigfoot Museum in Maine, he calls female Sasquatches She Squatches. So that was kind of a play on that. So
oh, that's
the
funny.
She Squatchers.
Huh. So before we came on, we were talking about why, and if there is any reason at all, why a group of women?
Well, again, Lauren Coleman, I was doing a radio interview with him on my old radio show, and he said that he felt that women would be the ones that would really be able to connect with Bigfoot and create a meaningful interaction, kind of like Jane Goodall did with the other women who've done the great work with the Great Apes.
Leakey?
And, excuse me?
Was it Leakey? Mary Leakey? I think was
I
the.
I think so.
Jane Goodall
really,
was
really,
the.
Really,
Louise Leakey, I think it was.
Yeah. All right. And, you know, that makes a lot of sense because there's less apt to be aggression there, I think.
Well, we were talking to that guy who wanted to kill the Sasquatch and bring back the body, so.
That's true.
I mean.
Yeah, we had a guest on once.
I think, you know, you're probably right about that.
We had Jim Lansdale on from that show Killing Bigfoot, and he was about killing
Bigfoot.
What he referred to as derelict Bigfoots, basically
the
criminals
Bigfoot.
Of the Bigfoot community.
Right, just the ones that, like, destroy property or whatever, which is, you know, still pretty aggressive there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you find...
I'm wondering why. Why do they destroy property? Aren't we encroaching on them? Is that the problem?
Well, yes, but I think that a lot of people don't have that attitude towards nature when we encroach upon it. And I have to say, I'm somewhat guilty of that. If I see a spider in my house, I freak out. You know?
Yeah.
So
you and me both.
So do you guys ever run into any, I mean, I know we're just kind of cutting to the heart of the chase here, but do you guys deal with any people who are out to kill it?
You know, everyone wants to know, do we carry weapons? And the answer is no, we don't. And, you know, even if I can use a gun, I know how, I'm very good at it. But, you know, how do I know how every teammate is going to react if they get startled by something? You know, we don't know how people react in the moment. So we don't want to accidentally do something we would regret later.
Yeah, and going back to what we were talking about you know, maybe women carrying a less violent intent with them into the situation and less apt to act violently, you never know if carrying a weapon would change someone's intent and therefore the way the animal reads the person.
I think it does. I believe that it does.
There's
lots of belief out there that they can smell the gunpowder or they're aware of your intention if you have a weapon. And we just don't want to bring any of that into there.
So can you tell us a little bit about what one of your guys' outings is like?
Well, we have a lot of fun. Now, I was a psychic medium doing missing persons cases and paranormal investigations prior to this idea. And I didn't know if I believed in Bigfoot when we first started. I really didn't know. I thought, well, I'll go see what we find. Maybe there's a Bigfoot, maybe not. And so a lot of those extra abilities that I've used in missing persons cases, I thought, I wonder if we could use this to help find Bigfoot. And that has been a very fun adventure indeed. So I'll give you, I sent you some pictures of the footprints that we had found.
Yeah.
In that gravel pit. And that's an interesting story. Nikki Jourdain and Jenna Grover and myself were out on a scouting mission, and we were driving from one location to another, and as Nikki was driving my car, I had my awareness full open, and I sensed something in the woods as we drove by at 55 miles an hour. And I yelled, "Stop the car, turn around, we gotta go back and get in there somehow." Something is back there. And I didn't know what it was. I just sensed something's there. So we turn around, we go back, and there's a gravel pit back behind these trees that we'd just been driving by. And we pulled into this gravel pit, and it was clear as day, this stream of footprints going straight up this really steep hill that could not have been human or a bear because it was way too steep. And those footprints were huge and very detailed. And it was just an amazing find. And every time we've shown these to other Bigfoot researchers, like from the BFRO or the ECBRO, all the guys from Finding Bigfoot were really impressed with them. And when they saw the incline of that hill, they're like, there's no way that could have been a human or a bear. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I thought too.
So are really you convinced? You said you started out as a skeptic. Are you convinced now?
I am.
You are?
I am.
And are you convinced from sightings or from feelings or both?
Both. For me, it's both.
Well, it sounds like you had some physical evidence on that last one there. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, physical evidence can only go so far. You know, you gotta, you know, seeing is believing. So have you ever witnessed a Bigfoot?
We have found a structure in the woods that I knew there was things around us, and I was being very cautious of that. They were kind of staying in the shadows of the one area, and I was very focused on that. Mm-hmm. And knowing just to keep a little bit of distance, but just kind of pretend they're not there. So, I mean, that for me, going through that footage later and seeing that there is something in that space for so long in the video and then it's gone and then there's something back again. Hmm. I mean, it's very obvious to me that there is definitely something out there. And this structure was built. It was a built structure. Hmm. And there are quite a few Bigfoot sightings reported. And honestly, I was blown away. And, you know, I do remote viewing, geographic remote viewing, and that's how we located this location to look for something there. And it lit up on my map when I was looking at it as in response to my asking the question, can you show me where Bigfoot evidence that we can collect is? And this whole area lit up. And that was the area that we found the structure in.
Hmm. What was the structure like? I'm not really able to picture this here, I guess.
When we first came upon it, when we first are walking towards it, the part of it that I didn't even notice in person because I was so focused on this, it was a tower structure that went up a couple of stories, 2-3 stories.
Wow.
And there was, that's where something was inside of that sometimes and sometimes it wasn't.
So, like, this wooden tower in the woods.
It was made out of trees, though.
Out of trees?
Made out of trees.
Interesting.
And
I see. It was like a clump of trees with things connecting it that had been put there by...
Yes.
I see.
Interesting.
And there were... It was the end cap of this other long structure that was more like a range structure that you could sleep in. The ground had been worked up, which we didn't know at the time was a prerequisite for sleeping on the ground outside so you don't get hypothermia. We didn't even know that. Gemma had crawled into it and said, oh, this ground has been worked up. It's so nice and soft. And, you know, she kept saying that. And I didn't know until after I was reviewing the footage with a neighbor who was an Army survival teacher who said, you know, that has to be worked up to be slept on or you'd get hypothermia. And I'm like, really? I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So are either of you ever terrified when you're in that? I mean, because it sounds to me like you were fine. You come across this thing in the woods that obviously they put some investment into and you think that they're around you. Is that terrifying for either of you?
I'm going to say that Jenna is probably the most fearless person I know.
You see, the implication of that, Jen, is that you are not.
Well, let's just say that there was a fence made around this thing that we didn't even realize was a fence at the time because we were so focused on looking at the structure. We just kept moving the sticks to get around them. And it wasn't until I looked at the footage after the fact that I realized these sticks were weaved together, creating a fence that was 8 to 10 feet tall. We weren't even really noticing that because we were so focused on the structure we were looking at.
I see.
We were just trying to get into it.
Right. So you potentially, you know, could be upsetting somebody for messing up their,
right.
their creation.
As soon as we got in there and we get around the corner and we're looking at the actual structure that would be like a rain shelter, you know, like a little house where you could sleep in, Jenna's like, do you want me to get in there? And I'm like, what? I'm like, do you want to get in there? And she's like, don't you want me to? I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I'm not like, ready to take on that responsibility of sending you in there.
But she was like, I want to get in there. I'm like, okay. I wasn't really ready to jump in there myself or to send her in there, but she was raring and willing to go. So I was like, okay.
All right, well, now seems like a good time to take a break, leave our audience hanging a little bit. You're listening to the She Squatchers, Jen and Jenna from She Squatchers, here on Radio Wasteland. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Cold weather is quickly approaching Northern California. Give SST Oil a call today to hear their competitive prices for home heating fuel. Veterans are offered a 5% discount on heater sales and services and a 5% discount on home heating fuels. That's SST Oil. Give them a call at 241-1167. That's 241-1167. SST Oil. SST Oil supports our veteran community.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Black Bear Diner was started by a couple of hungry guys with a big dream. That dream? Good old-fashioned family food with great service. Like the classic Volcano Breakfast. Secret recipes, sweet cream pancakes, hickory-smoked bacon, sausage, and fresh cracked eggs. Served day or night at over 100 Black Bear Diner locations. Feeding all you hungry bears out there makes us so proud.
Here's your breakfast for dinner. No more coffee?
Thanks, Rosie. I'm sorry. Pancakes at sunset make me a little emotional.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Here's your chance to save $4,000 off MSRP on the purchase of a new 2017 Nissan Rogue Sport at Crown Motors. The Nissan Rogue Sport has aggressive styling and quiet comfort. The impressive gas mileage will save you money with every mile. Get yours today for $4,000 off MSRP on every new Nissan Rogue Sport in stock at Crown Motors. They're equipped for comfort with advanced drive assist display, hill start assist, hands-free text messaging assistant, and more. 10 to choose from. Price plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, any dealer document preparation charge, and any admission testing charge. The $4,000 off MSRP includes a $1,500 Crown discount, a $2,000 factory rebate, a $500 NMAC cash rebate when you finance through Nissan Motor Credit. Not all buyers will qualify. Offer ends February 28th. Come to Crown Motors Nissan on Cypress Avenue today for a test drive.
The Ten Tenors are coming to the Reading Civic Auditorium March 16th with their acclaimed show, Wish You Were Here, a celebration of legends featuring the music of David Bowie, Prince, Amy Winehouse, John Lennon, Michael Jackson, Freddie Mercury, Whitney Houston, and more. Fresh off their 20th anniversary world tour, the Ten Tenors return with their show, Wish You Were Here. With over 700 sold-out shows, six albums that have gone platinum and gold, it's the Ten Tenors. Don't miss your opportunity to experience this international singing sensation live at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Get your tickets for this soon-to-be-sold-out show, the Ten Tenors, March 16th. Go to readingcivic.com for your tickets today. Tickets are also available at the Civic box office or by calling 229-0022.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guests, Jen and Jenna from the She Squatchers. So, this is a common discussion, but I like to have it with each squatcher. I find the term squatching to be hilarious.
But cool.
But cool, yeah, it's just a funny term. And then there was that show on TV, and the guy had the Gone Squatching shirt. And it just cracked me up, and I wanted the Gone Squatching shirt so bad, you know, because it was just such a funny word, you know.
It is a funny word.
So, what do you think the Sasquatch is?
I'm going to let Jenna answer that first, because we have different ideas sometimes.
Oh, good.
I don't. Go ahead, Jenna. Well, there's excuse me, there's so many different theories on what he could possibly be. For me, I'm still a skeptic. I need to see things to believe them. When I joined the team, I was a skeptic. I really, like Jen said, you don't think about, you know, whether you believe in Bigfoot or not until you get an opportunity to be on a team, which was incredible. And I think, personally, I think Bigfoot is more of a creature, someone that's something that we haven't found yet. You know what I mean? Like something related to the gorilla family. That's what I think.
So you think it's a primate?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And so,
I think that that's possible. I think that's possible. But from what I'm seeing, I'm thinking that the creature that I'm tracking is a lot more intelligent than, say, the common gorilla or chimpanzee. And I'm seeing a lot more structure to the habitats that I've been seeing built, and a lot more stealthiness than I would expect, I guess. I just think that there's a lot more going on there than just being an undiscovered animal.
Right.
I suspect that. I don't know for sure, but I suspect.
But you're still leaning towards some sort of primate, like a human is a primate.
Definitely a solid creature, yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's lots of, you know, beliefs out there that it's potentially not a far cry from a man that's just living in the wild, that it's a giant sloth.
Yeah.
Personally, the one I find to be most entertaining in a fun way is that it's a transdimensional gold digger.
Yeah. I was reading Linda.
Gold digger?
Yeah, I don't know about gold digger.
No, yeah. Well, that basically, okay. One of the belief systems is that it's basically an alien, a transdimensional being that comes here looking for gold, as so many aliens supposedly do.
Okay.
And that's why, like, we can't find it, because it's transdimensional, you know. It's not actually there to be found.
I will say that, you know, I'm part Native American, part Ojibwe, and part Dakota Sioux, and also Cree. And my tribe believes that Bigfoot is a solid creature, very physical, but yet is very intelligent and can, at will, move through dimensions.
Hmm. Really?
From the spirit realm, for instance, to the solid realm.
I was reading Linda Godfrey's book on dogmen, upright canids, and so forth, and she came to a similar conclusion regarding them and also Bigfoot. She kind of lumped in there that, you know, maybe it was something that was incorporeal, or maybe was solid but could kind of slip in between worlds and so forth. So yeah. It sounds like this is a theory that, you know, a lot of people subscribe to.
It's not a theory as far as the tribe is concerned, because Bigfoot is ingrained deeply into their spiritual belief systems.
Hmm.
Like, there's something called the Seven Teachings of the Grandfathers in the Ojibwe culture, and this is part of their, I hate to use the word religion, but for lack of a better word, religion. The Seven Teachings of the Grandfathers are extremely sacred, and each one is represented by an animal. And Bigfoot represents honesty in one of their seven sacred teachings. So it's very, very old. And the stories that go along with Bigfoot are very connected to the people, that Bigfoot will always be near the people, is a protector of the people. It's just very unique how old this stuff is.
Hmm.
So I tend to think that they're right, just based on the things that I've seen myself. You know, it really kind of clicks with it.
But I assume that as you are trying to find, your goal is to find physical evidence, though, right? To find proof?
Absolutely.
And to communicate, you know, peacefully. We definitely want to communicate, not just find some hair or something.
So what do you think is the most compelling piece of Bigfoot evidence out there?
They say existing evidence or evidence we'd like to find.
Well, let's start out with existing evidence.
Hmm. Well, for what we found, probably the those footprints that we sent you pictures of, that was probably really solid for me because of the weight that creature had to be to sink that far in.
Right.
And how strong it had to be to walk up that hill without using its hands, because we couldn't do it. I couldn't make it up that hill at all. Jenna made it up, but she was on all fours.
Oh, yeah. You literally would take one step and your foot would go down 5 inches. So you really had to work. It was like one of those elliptical machines, but it had a great view.
Well, go ahead.
So that was something that we could physically see. A human could not have done that. So to me, that was really solid evidence that there's something there. My senses alone tell me that there's something there, but this just backs it up. The structures that we found are obviously built and without tools, and it's nothing that a bear or anything like that would ever create. So something is back there that's very strong, that can rip trees out of the ground by the roots and flips them upside down and teepees the roots together. It's unbelievable. I don't know any person who could have done that.
True.
Yeah, that's crazy. So is there any... is there any DNA proof out there? Is there any hair fibers that are really convincing? You know, I've caught a couple of shows, but I haven't really put in the research to really know if there's any scientific evidence floating around out there that is just kind of seriously eyebrow raising.
You know, that's a really good question, and I've often wondered that myself, and there have been shows about that I've watched, and it just seems like when they do find something that could be DNA evidence, it always comes back like it wasn't strong enough DNA, or it was inconclusive, or we can't identify it.
Right.
But still, they're not saying this is absolute evidence. They're not saying that. And I'm wondering why. If you can't identify it, then what is it?
Right. Right.
I think people don't want to come out and say this is it.
So you think maybe that evidence is there and people are just a little hesitant to sort of put their name behind it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, if you consider the mummies that they found of those what appear to be aliens in Peru,
mm-hmm.
and they're still claiming that, you know, that's not real, that can't be real, but yet the scientists who are looking at it say that it is. It's just they don't want to admit that, in my opinion. So, I mean, my goal now is to find bones. I wouldn't kill something or kidnap a baby Bigfoot or anything like that. But, you know, I think that maybe we should be looking for bones.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, that's a no-kill, no-hurting-anybody type of find.
Yeah, absolutely. And so is there anybody out there looking for bones? And how does one go about doing that? Do you just look for corpses in the woods, or well, I mean, you know, how do you ask that question? You know, how do you go about doing that?
For me, as a remote viewer, I'll be asking the question. I'm looking for bones. You know, I'm looking for Bigfoot bones, and I'll be asking that and scanning the woods that way. But that's a very unusual way to go looking for Bigfoot. I think we're the only ones who do that.
Much about remote viewing, but I'm assuming it's not like a, you know, 100% here I ask the question and there's the answer in perfect clarity kind of thing. You know, I assume there's some trial and error involved with that.
There is, but that's actually closer to a science and controlled remote viewing. You know, they have their statistics that are tracked. And some people, you know, like there's one particular lady, what's her name? I can't remember her name off the top of my head. But she's in we mentioned her in our blog a while back, and she's a remote viewer. She's got an 87% 87% accuracy rating over many years.
Hmm.
So when she says something, you can pretty much guess it's 87% correct.
Yeah.
So for myself, I've been doing remote viewing for paranormal investigation teams prior to them going to locations. I'll look at a place with Google Earth or Google Maps, satellite imagery, and I'll tell them everything I see there, and I'll just keep asking questions and get in. The image that I see changes. Not that it changes on the actual picture, just my perception of it changes in response to the question that I ask. And I write down everything, and I am extremely accurate on really very specific things that would not be true for anywhere usually. Like my first time I did it for a particular team, I saw a human.
Hey, I'm sorry to cut you off here, but we're coming up on a commercial break. So if we can, let's pick this up right when we get back. You're listening to Jenna and Jen from the She Squatters here on Radio Wasteland. Come back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, February 16th from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here in the studios at KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Store and Enjoy the Magazine. Let's find out what's going on in Northern California. Also, what happened over the weekend? Who won the Super Bowl? All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio. And best of all, Christy Largent is the host. Free Fire Radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all. But not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guests, Jen and Jenna from the She Squatchers. I have to apologize for my voice, my coughing, my sneezing, and my general lethargy. I have a cold.
Oh,
thank you. You know, nothing makes me feel better than pity. I like that.
You've got ours, baby.
Thanks. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about remote viewing and the use of remote viewing, and basically the use of mediumship or being sensitive. You know, I found that in the beginning, when I was first looking into this stuff, there was a lot of sort of just straight up nuts and bolts. You know, we're going after this with science. And over the past couple of years, it seems that people have started to open up to the idea of using alternative sciences and fringe sciences in order to find out more about these things. Have you guys found that that's the case?
It's definitely true for us. I know Jenna didn't really believe that we could do that the first time I took her out that way.
Oh, my gosh, no. I'm sorry, but I believe in Jen, but she told me about remote viewing, and I kind of thought, all right, well, whatever you want to do, Jen. I mean, I know Jen is psychic, and she's very good at what she does. But, boy, I just didn't have faith in this remote viewing thing. But sure enough, I was in shock I was totally not a believer in this, but I was in shock. It actually worked. We literally pulled up and boom, right to the left of us. She walked in there just like she had a plan. She knew where she was going. And I was looking around, you know, kind of like, well, where do we start? You know, and there she was. She goes, Jen, you got to come here. So she's pretty good at it.
That's amazing.
Before we even got out of the car, I said, it's within 100 feet this way, straight back into the woods. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, I think being pretty good at remote viewing for most people is just absolutely flabbergasting, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's
I think it's really interesting. You know, you can't do this sort of thing and not be a fan of Art Bell. And I just remember, you know, 20 years ago listening about remote viewing on Art Bell, thinking like, you know, that's really quite an amazing concept, you know, the concept of basically reading the ripples of life to find out what's going on and what's out there, you know. Mm-hmm. So, right. So do you guys do like group outings and camping trips and sort of like, you know, or is this sort of a day trip situation? And one thing I'm really curious about is, what do you take with you? Do you have any sort of scientific instruments or anything that you take with you? Or is it just a matter of a camera and time?
You've got some loaded questions there.
Yes, you do.
Sorry, was that too much?
So we do go out and we go out whenever we get the chance to. If we're driving by something and we see something, we might stop.
Literally right there.
Right there. We might be late getting to where we're getting to. So sometimes we have just little short excursions, something caught our eye. Sometimes we'll just go for a few hours. And sometimes we plan a whole expedition where we're out there for days. Mm-hmm. And we have gone to, we've gone camping at like Squatchman's Hotspot in Indiana, Frank Yost's Hotspot. And that was a fun time. We're going to go back there.
Can't wait to go back there. Greg is awesome. Squatchman!
I like the Squatchman shout out. Well, that's one thing that I've always been curious about is like when you're out camping, you know, what is nighttime like when you're out camping? Is there no fire? Or do you sort of treat the nighttime like you would when you're camping and then the next day sort of hike away from your campsite trying to find something? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we had a fire when we went camping. Absolutely. We had a fire.
Yes.
But we have gotten stuck in the woods in the dark.
Mm.
And where all of our equipment, because we carry quite a bit of equipment, and we have extra equipment in the car. But this particular time, we were returning back to that big stick structure that we found, and we had left the car quite a ways down the trail so that we didn't interrupt anything that was going on in the woods. We kind of just walked up on it down the trail and got came up that way. And we had left somebody in the car. And when we were out there looking at it, all of our equipment went dead at the same time. And we're talking big, huge flashlights that light up the woods that only need to be charged every 6 months. And these things went dead at the same time as all of our cameras. And we had all kinds of video cameras and night vision cameras. Well, I had 13% left on my cell phone and two headlamps in my pack. That we hadn't used. So, I mean, I pulled those out. That's what we had left to find our way out of the woods. Because it was pitch black out there when the sun went down.
That's terrifying.
And we couldn't see very far in front of us. And we've actually put a YouTube video on YouTube of us turning the cameras back on when the lights went out. Because something big was moving near us in the woods. And I was trying to light it up with my little headlamp to see if I could see what it was because it was big and it was close.
Yeah. So it was a little nerve-wracking at that time. But, Jen, we should have totally done like a Blair Witch scene on the last 15 seconds of your phone, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Well, there was kind of a Blair Witch scene when I hit the ground face first.
I feel like that lends a little bit of credence to the like transdimensional Bigfoot idea because
that doesn't
happen when you're hunting for gorillas or whatever.
Is the implication of what you're saying here that everything went out just sort of coincidentally due to poor planning, or that it was potentially something supernatural or electromagnetic?
It had to have been. Mm-hmm. It had to have been because the previous time that we had been there, this is really weird because Jenna was wearing a GoPro camera on her head,
And she had a camera that she was holding, very expensive one too, by the way. And her equipment malfunctioned where everything went blurry. Mm-hmm. And her GoPro stopped going from video and it only started taking pictures through this whole time. And then mine worked, but hers malfunctioned.
So it kind of glitched out and... Yeah, but crazy. So that does make the electromagnetic.
All of her equipment glitched out. All of her equipment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm good. I plug everything in. I make sure everything is ready to go and everything. And
yeah, I don't doubt it. I just wanted to clarify for our audience. And unfortunately, we're coming up on the end of our show here. Man, we're going to have you guys back on. You guys are a lot of fun, and you guys got some great answers to all of our questions, and I realize we got a lot of them. But before we cut out of here, can you tell our audience a little bit more about how they can find out about you guys?
Sure. They can find us online at shesquatchers.com or on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/shesquatchersofficial, or on YouTube at shesquatchersofficial.
And, you know, can you tell us a little bit more about your group? Because you're only two of the bunch, right?
That's right. There's two more of us that aren't with us tonight. Nikki Jordan, and she's Native American from the Red Lake Band of Chippewa, it's Ojibwe Indians, actually, in northern Minnesota. And then we've got Marla Jane, which she's from southern Minnesota. So they still have children at home, so they don't make it to as many events out of state as we do.
Yeah, believe me, so I understand that.
What's that?
Oh, I understand that. My youngest is 17. I'm on the brink of freedom.
Oh, no. On the brink. Good luck, man. I hope you make it. So close.
Yeah, my wife and I were just like, gosh, can't wait. But this is totally off topic, but I did just read an article the other day that said that basically kids now live with their parents off and on until they're 35. So I'm just like,
oh, yeah.
Awesome. Boy, you know?
I really missed out on that savings. Yeah.
I know.
Well, we can send them to live with the Squatches. All right. Well, thank you guys very much for being on the show. I'd love to have you on again. You have been listening to Jen and Jenna from the She Squatchers here on Radio Wasteland. Thanks for checking us out.
Seems like
The news is brought to you on KCNR at Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Once again, the White House has 5 days to decide whether to declassify a House Intelligence Committee memo, this time from the Democrats.
A week after reviewing and releasing a Republican memo which accused the FBI and Justice Department of abusing their authority in the handling of the Russia investigation, President Trump and his legal team are reviewing a Democratic document from the same committee. It aims to counter the GOP memo.